CBS tried to use bogus documents to influence a presidential election. Accuracy matters. Documents must be verifiable. That's why Luke took such pains to investigate and record only what he could vouch for in his gospel and in the book of Acts. These books have stood the test of millennia, and that will not happen with Dan Brown's The Da Vinci Code. Today, the real deal on the real Jesus. Stay with us. From Chicago's Moody Church, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues his series on Rumors About Jesus, telling us more about the Jesus of the Da Vinci Code, based on a mix of fiction and flimsy fact. He compares this book to the solid history written by Luke.
But when you read the Gospel of Luke, you get the impression that he's beginning with the beginning, indeed, as he talks about Zechariah and John the Baptist and Elizabeth, and then moves on to the Virgin Mary, etc. And what you see is an orderly, sensible progression of facts that he has accumulated, that he has written about. So he does it, first of all, careful investigation, secondly, organization, and third, you'll notice he expects an informed response. This is critical. Notice what he says, the last part of verse 3 and verse 4. It seemed good to me to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus. The word Theophilus, the name means God lover. Apparently this was some official that he had contact with, a friend, who may at this point not have been a Christian, by the way, because it was unusual for Christians to call one another by such a title. But nonetheless, he says, I'm writing this to you. Luke may not have fully understood that he was not just writing it for him, but for millions of other people who would read his gospel, so that you may know the certainty of the things you've been taught. The Greek word certainty means that you might have a firm foundation upon which to stand. As Peter says in 2 Peter, we did not follow cunningly devised fables. We don't want our faith to be based on imaginary history. We need a faith that is rooted in the facts. You say, well, did Luke have a deep conviction about what he wrote? Answer is yes. Did that disqualify him? Was his conviction so deep that you couldn't trust his research? No. Not any more than you could distrust someone who came through the Holocaust, who's written about it with passion and with conviction. We believe their history, their eyewitness accounts, and they're not disqualified just because they're passionate about what they write. And neither was Luke. You say, well, Pastor Lutzer, how good a historian was he really? That's a good question to ask. And those of you who might be out there who are skeptics, you're kind of asking that in the back of your mind, and you ought to ask a question like that. For a moment, I want to talk to those of you who may be keeping Jesus at arm's length. You know, you're kind of saying, well, you know, you're not going to convince me of anything, but you can try, you know. There may be some of you out there like that. And you're saying to yourself, well, you know, how good a historian was he? Well, I'm so glad you asked that question, by the way. Thank you. Thank you. Would you take your Bible now and turn to the book of Acts? You know that Luke also is the author of the book of Acts. And I'm going to give you time to find this so that you read verse 1. He says in Acts 1, verse 1, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote all that Jesus began to do and to teach. Isn't it interesting that in Luke he called him most excellent Theophilus? Here he just simply calls him Theophilus, maybe because in the process, Theophilus became a Christian. We're not sure. But Luke says, I wrote to you my former book, and now I'm going to write this one. Now, the book of Acts, you know, is filled with historical detail from beginning to end. We're talking about rivers and lakes and trails and cities and distances. It's all in the book of Acts. How good a historian is he? There was a man by the name of Sir William Ramsay. Sir William Ramsay bought into religiously liberal ideas about the Bible. And when he set out to study Luke's gospel and to trace all of the trails and do archaeological and historical work, he fully expected that Luke would be found to be in error. But he wrote a book on his findings, and let me give you one phrase of his book. He says, "Luke is a historian who is unsurpassed in his trustworthiness. He was a doctor who did his work well." You know, wonderful to have a book like this rather than complicated codes, theories, ideas, speculations, imaginary history. This is real history. I mean, I'm telling you today that you can read the Gospel of Luke and you can trust what it is that you're reading, because you're reading something that can be depended upon, something that can be even checked out historically and archaeologically. Two very important conclusions. Number one, that our eternal destiny is rooted in God's historical intervention in this planet. Did you know that? Jesus didn't come just to teach us how to love each other. How do you take selfish sinners and teach them how to love each other? There's some value in it, but it's not transforming value. The Bible says that Jesus came as a rescue effort to save us from our sins. That's what it's all about. We have a sin problem. Remember those rescuers there at 9/11 going up the stairs trying to rescue people in the Twin Tower disaster? Many of them died rescuing others. God bless them. Jesus did much the same thing. He came to a world, and this world was filled with violence and injustice and greed and envy and cruelty. And he himself was nailed to a cross. He died too in the rescue process. But the good news is that 3 days later, he was raised from the dead, another powerfully historical event. He was raised from the dead, proving, number one, that death could not keep him, and proving that really he had triumphed over death. And now the good news of the gospel is he invites us to participate in that triumph if we embrace him as our Savior. That's wonderfully good news. In a world that is wracked by sin. Now there's a second conclusion, and that is this, that I want you to look at your conscience today. I know you can't take it out and look at it this way. I just want you to be honest, look into your heart for a moment. Our conscience tells us, and the Bible verifies, that we owe God more than we can pay. And many people try to pay by good deeds and by doing this and that to somehow balance the score, but you can't. And the good news of the gospel is that when Jesus intervened, and when he came and he was born in a manger, and then he grew up to become a man and he died on the cross, that the purpose of the cross was for Jesus to pay our debt if we are willing to believe in him. Listen, if you don't trust Christ as your Savior, think for a moment what you are missing. You are missing an opportunity to be rescued from your sins and from a dark eternity. Wow. Back in 1834, there was a man by the name of Edward Mote. He was a churchgoer in London, and one day when he was going to work, he thought of a poem that he decided to write. It's wonderful in our busy world, isn't it? We normally don't take enough time to meditate, but I guess in those days, back in 1834, they had more time. So he took the words and he wrote them on a piece of paper and he put them in his pocket. The next Sunday when he was leaving church, a friend of his by the name of Mr. King said to Edward, "Edward, my wife is dying. I wonder if you'd come over and would you spend a few moments? Let's pray together. Let's read some scripture. Maybe sing a hymn just to encourage her." And so Edward said, "Sure." When it came time to sing a hymn, he said, "You know, there's this poem that I've written, and I have in my mind some kind of a tune." The tune wasn't fully formed at that point. So he gave the poem to the dying woman. He read it, and she was so encouraged by it, she said, "Leave it here." And so he actually left the poem there, and then he went home, and he had to recreate it in his mind from memory because he didn't have a second copy. And then, of course, the rest of the poem was perfected, and then it became a song. You say, well, what encouraged Mrs. King as she was dying? Now, I'll tell you, that's an important question, and let me tell you why it is important, because all of life ultimately is preparation for death. And if you can't answer the question of what your faith does for you when it comes time to die, if you can't answer that question, you have a question that screams for an answer. The words that encouraged this woman were these: "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. The Da Vinci book is sinking sand." You can plot your... If you plant your feet on that, your feet are firmly planted in midair. All other ground is sinking sand. Jesus. You say, oh, but you need faith to trust Jesus. Of course you need faith. But it's a reasonable faith. It's a verifiable faith. It's a rational faith. It's not myth and speculation and fancy codes that we need people to help us figure out. So, where is your faith planted? Midair? Or the solid rock of Christ? Yes, my friend, that's a question that you need to answer, and I hope that indeed your confidence is in Christ alone. I know that many of you listening probably think that the Da Vinci Code, because it is no longer making the news, it's an era, so to speak, that has passed, you think that it might be irrelevant, but it's not. Your children in college are learning these very same ideas. So stay tuned and you'll receive information as to how you can have this message for someone you know.
That was Dr. Erwin Lutzer concluding The Jesus of the Da Vinci Code, the second message in his series on rumors about Jesus. Tomorrow, join Dr. Lutzer for a look at the Jesus found in Mormonism. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago to help you understand God's roadmap for your race of life. Rumors About Jesus can be yours as a 5-message CD series, sent as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Don't miss our next Running to Win.